Now this is channel 2 right. This is 2 right. Channel 2 right, and I'm setting it up for Frankie and Miss Chitty this Sunday, the 18th of April, 1971. This is channel 2 right. Channel 2 right, and I'm setting it up for Frankie and Miss Chitty this Sunday afternoon, the 18th of April, 1971. Channel 2 right. On Willie's tape, really Willie's reel. Channel 2 right, and I'm setting it up for Frankie and Miss Chitty this Sunday afternoon, the 18th of April, 1971.
I was just talking to you. To your mother, I just didn't know when she's ever going to get over here.
Yes, I see you got your pea shooter loaded.
Yeah. You know what? We need it, too. We sure need it.
See, you got a switch there. Where you switch?
Yeah, I kept keeping in line.
We're just catching breath here, man.
Yeah, you are.
I'll go down there and get that cat for a minute. You all go ahead and talk to your mom. That calf you got over there, 2 months old. Why, if you can raise calves like that, you are.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, you're taking stuff out of your pocket. I wished I had back what I owe Seminole for this year's doing, what I've already paid on the feed bill and all. Of course, like told Miss Miles, the calf said, gets all nights and mornings milk. I just milk one, that's nice. I don't milk one day.
The calf milks in the morning?
Yes, he gets all the morning milk. I got arthritis in my fingers. I noticed this in here, it wants to stiffen up on when I'm squeezing. I got a doggone thorn in there, you know, about Mr. Zerai, and I don't know where I got it out.
Yeah.
It kind of fessed up on me. I put a Band-Aid on. And when I mashed it, I noticed it started getting cramped.
Yeah.
It just stayed right like that. And when I opened it up, and this one, yeah, it's got arthritis, it gets like your skin. Tries to climb up on that oven, and when it pops, it'll come back down. So,
Oh, really?
And I always see, I used to milk in two hands. Put the bugger right between my legs, and man, I could milk in a few minutes, I'd be gone. That brother next to me, the one that's in Gainesville, I used to go up at the road and stand and watch calf on him, see? Keep calf and sucking while he milked.
Martin?
Yes. And that dad burned bugger, I was all the time telling him about milking. He said, I'll let you have it. And I made him mad. That devil in one ear, and he just taken a cast hit and like that right up in my face. Man, I gotta kick him through the cast. So I said, well, you're gonna have to get somebody else to mind the cast. You might as well ask tell Dad to let Munro come in and mind the cast. I don't mess with you gonna do me like that. No, sir, I'm just fixing to turn the cow loose to you. You done made me mad, and I said, you can have a cow.
Mm-hmm.
So I take no, and I've been milking ever since then. I used to milk, had 2 cows there. They wasn't, you know, what this cow here is. I mean, it wasn't no breaded up milk cow. It was just a old-timey milk cow. I had years and all, but that's one cow that I ain't got a cotton picking better use for. That's a Jersey cow. Margaret's husband had one. And every time I look at the tail end of that thing, and everybody tells me, well, I've heard several people say that Jersey milk was really better milk than a Holstein Guernsey and like that. But I don't know that. When you have a calf off of a Jersey, he's small tail. And you don't get nothing out of him when you put him on the market because people look at him, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, you might would now because price has been good on cows the past 2 years.
Yeah, you get a good price for a little or nothing.
But the thing about it is, back there then, yeah, they'd look at that thing and say, that's a poor looking thing.
Yeah.
Belly and all, it'd be good and fat.
Yeah.
But the tail of it would be just like that.
Just
sharp.
Sharp.
So, I said, I got one. I got, well, it was a steer. I mean a bull. I made a steer out of him when he got him down here. I worked up in Jacksonville one time, and a cousin of mine worked at the dairy. And he got them by truckload. And them buggers happened to go out there with a doggone rock or something, knock them in the head, just like rabbits, getting them up in the woods. And he said, Frankie, I tell you, that's getting bad. I said, man, I got wild, just can't hardly stand it. The boss man says, I have to do it. He says, won't you get about 8 or 10 of them up? I says, I can't keep them. I said, man, how could I keep them and me up here? Keep them down there? I said, Dad, Mom's not able to take care of them. Dad's too old, monkey around stuff. And I asked my uncle, his daddy. He said, well, I guess you could bring them, but I'm afraid you'd run into trouble. So I figured right then when he said that, I might as well just shut up, you know, and just let him go. And he'd say, then when he come in, he said, well, I killed 6 or 7 more today. And that's just maybe part he killed. Not counting the 8 or 10 more boys in the milk stall, you know, what they had to do.
Yeah.
So when I left him up at Monroe at the time, he bought him a, he'd come back down here. He was up there one time with me, him and Billy Yonsey. They looked around and couldn't get no job, and they got a job for a little while, and it run out, and they come back home. So I stayed up there. I was up there working at Florida Glass Company, making them PepsiCo bottles, fruit jars, and all that stuff. Well, that's where my aunt worked until she retired. Mama's sister, I guess that. Didn't you meet her one time ago? She's a big, heavy-set woman. Anyway.
I never even heard you mention her before.
So, well, that's the only sister Mama's got. It wasn't but 3 of them. Miss Dixon's husband was my uncle, Mr. Eddie Dixon. That was my uncle, that's my uncle, brother. They had more, but they died out. They were older than, you know, they died out as years went on, and then had one died when he was young. But talking about Jacksonville, well, I stayed with them, and I had so dad burn much racket there. I had 3 or 4 boys and a couple, 3 girls, well, 2 girls, but then they had some friends that'd come in, and well, you have on a shift, you know, where you work, like I'd go to work in the evening at 3 o'clock, I'd get off 11 at night. All right, I couldn't sleep in the daytime, never could. I can now, but I couldn't then, because it'd make me sick. So I'd lay there and roll on that doggone bed, and them boys cutting their fool out there, maybe a bunch of their friends would come up and they'd holler and hoop and rage cane, you know. A lot of people can sleep through stuff like that, but I can't do it.
I never would.
I just have to make the best of it. I have had to get up and join. I couldn't sleep, so.
I couldn't live on this shift with us on.
Yeah, well. Well, I could if I had to, because I used to go to bed around 11:30.
I always thought Willie had good judgment, but I'll swear that's way out on the deep end. Frankie, what does you're talking about the cattle? We were talking about Eric over at your house. Does he have any cattle?
Yeah, he got black eyes. But they're not registered, or wasn't.
No.
They just kept coming through. See, he kept coming through. He used to have 2 milk cows. He milked, you know, and he'd get calves and put on them, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He got them 3 or 4 good mother cows then, and he got him up a bunch. He kept cutting back, so he selling them off. So he got a good breed of black Angus. And he used to go down yonder with us on them shows, Mr. Cockles, me and old Johnny.
Oh, really?
And he'd run his mouth more and knocking sales all the time. And them guys would say, well, who is that guy and where does he come from? And we'd have to tell him, you know, and he's from up a highway, you know, up at making over. So. And he got up there one day, and I tell you, when somebody gets to bragging, like Jake Lightner, he'll brag, you know, and tell somebody don't know much about him. Oh, they got 1,000 head of cows and 10 head of bulls and all that stuff, you know. Well, I know them. Boy, and sometime I want to get my head between my legs. People look at me, you know, just say, boy, ain't ought to be well to do. Well, I hate to just come right out and say you're telling you a lie.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what I should have done to a lot of them, because they asked me about it. I said, I don't know. I don't know too much about them.
Now, that was on the shows that Cockrell had.
Yes, sir.
And you went along with them?
You know, me and Johnny used to have to haul them things, and I didn't go as much as Johnny. Johnny used to go up and he'd tear some of them things up. He'd have to go up in Alabama up there with them bulls.
Yeah.
And show them. And we had have had as high as 15 of them buggers. Oh, they're aged to start breeding. We'd work them things as big as that calf you got out there holding. Start hauling them. Of course, Mr. Conklin would let us wait. He let them get as high as dog and thing him before he wanted to monkey with them. Me and Johnny tried to tell him that he ought to train them as to come along, and then it won't be so hard. We've had to anchor some out with trees.
Yeah.
Yes, we've had to anchor them out trees, learning to hold it. They just get so dadgum rough, you couldn't hold a dog on hold it.
Yeah.
I mean, them lines would burn your hands.
Yeah.
And you couldn't keep on gloves.
Yeah.
Shoot, I've seen old Johnny have a pair of gloves on it. It'd part his hands almost through there. So we had a tree. We had an anchor tree. I guess it was about as big as that pot top there.
Mm-hmm.
Had to have them pretty good, because out there on that land out from Marcia there, that's just them old, them oaks don't grow very long. And they're just on top of the ground.
Yeah.
And them things were about as high as that cedar tree there higher. And you know, I've seen them shake the top of that thing. It'd have a whole laird on them, you know, with the halter. Have a bow pull so we get it loose, you know, when we walk up to him. See, man, I seen turn that, to put that dog on Laird, tie it Laird onto that thing, and let the gate open. We let the gate open, that fucking go down that fence. Never did break no halters, but Buddy at Nathabone laid them out. I seen a lot of them hit the ground.
Well, what'd you take Everett along for? To meet the public or something?
Everett just went along a lot of times, you know. He just went along. He's supposed to be working, but he's running his mouth. Just go up the line, people, talking to different ones, you know.
Yeah.
Charlie people, Black Angus people, White Face people, and all them kind of people that had different breeds of cows.
Yeah.
And he'd go up along and tell them. So one guy one day there, he was just rattling the dog. And old Johnny, I guess he got tired of it, you know. He said, he's always cutting food, too. And this man walked up to him.
Johnny always cutting food?
And this man walked up to him and says, who in the H is that guy, Johnny, that fellow's limping? And old Johnny said, well, said, he's a friend come down with us around Reddick, Flinton, Shiloh, making open. We all live around up there in place. He said, about 20 miles out, south of north of O'Kelly, if you know where that is. Yeah. I know where O'Kelly is, Gainesville. Said, well, he's up there. He's got a little bunch of cows, and he's going around there and telling people he's got a registered herd. Yeah. He stood up there and told that guy, and I just wanted to croak. And old Johnny come up and said, don't listen to a word he said, because he ain't nothing but a GD lie. Now, I guess old Johnny must have got mad about something.
Well,
and, so this man said, well, I figured that. Said he'd been going all up and down the line here in the doggone pavilion telling people that he's got a registered Angus farm up at Making Open. He said, he's got a few cows. And a guy to come along and ask me, how are his cows? I said, well, they just like a lot of we others. They just cows been breaded backing up.
Crossbred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I had a registered bull when I started off, and I had real good cows, and I got a registered bull. That's the reason I got the registered bull, because Mr. Coffin told me, said, Frankie, you get a registered bull with them mixed cows,
yeah,
and they grow you good calves, and always pick out your best cows to save,
yeah,
and get rid of the others till you get up pretty good. Well, there for a while I was inbreeding. I knew it, but I wasn't able to buy another bull. So me and old Troy Bonds
was
going to
cut down on your calves.
Yeah, so me and Troy Bonds was going to trade.
Troy who?
Troy Bonds.
Oh, yeah.
And I kept waiting on him. I told him, I said, he said, says, we are swamped. Says, I don't know why I'd want it. He first wanted to sell, and then he said, I don't know why I want to sell it off. I said, I'll swap though. I'll use your bull seed, and you can use mine. And then when you get cash, I'll change back to something
that's
like
the way
that.
To do.
And
yeah.
Kept waiting on a knocker, waiting on a knocker, and I told Will, I said, what happened to old Troy? He says, why? I said, he's supposed to let me know something about what he's going to do about Trey Bull. I said, well, I think he's just keeping him up there. He decided he's keeping. So, he got him up, you know, the week and get him down at the house. I don't know where he's got him down at the house feeding him or where he's trading him or. There ain't no telling you I'm trading that nephew, that Delma Pond boy over there. But he had a nice little bull. His son-in-law bought the bull. That's how he got it. You see, it wasn't a kin of Troy's cow. And he had, I don't know, four, five, six cows. Built a nice barn up there. Got a well up there. Had got it all fenced. He was going to build out there. And all of a sudden, he decided he wanted to sell. I don't know.
Got Everett. He kind of stretches the fact sometimes.
I tell you, Mr. Miles, he does worse than stretch it. He splits it and everything else. He can tell some of the dead bunnies a lot of pray in church like he does. Hey, gosh, look. I'd like you to hear him sometime when he prays and kind of stay with him during the week. And be around people, you know, like you'd meet up with some of these guys buying land now, you know, getting started out here. Right around us.
Yeah.
and hear some of the lies he can tell. Good God. Man, you look at a man, you sit in church and listen to him. And I remember back then when you wouldn't ever hear him say a cuss word. Him and old Ernest had a run in that one time. At the same time, third Sunday, old Ernest was eating peanuts was coming
what
out.
What was that? Yeah, that was, I didn't get that straight.
Yeah, old Ernest was standing up eating peanuts, smacking like a hog. And all them peanuts going in one side and shells coming out there. And I said, good God, if he can chew anything. If he'd have bit his tongue, he'd bit it off. And he said, yes. Yeah. I said, all you can do is stand up and eat these peanuts. I said, that bun. I said, I ain't never heard of Larry talk about it. So from then on, I always heard him say cuss words. But before that, I could always vouch. Before Larry.
Well, now, what was the occasion that he was eating them peanuts?
Well, old Ernest was eating peanuts. Everett wasn't. Old Everett was.
Yeah, yeah.
Everett. Yeah, old Everett. He was working on that chew tobacco and that cigar. And he's trying to light that thing, talk, and old Ernest was making fun of him what it was.
Yeah.
See? Ernest never did want to do anything. He wanted to be clean hands. He wanted his share and more, but he didn't want to do nothing for it. So old Everett just got tired of it. He just told him he's going to have to do something else. So that's the reason they broke loose. From farming together. They used to farm together, man.
Oh,
high.
Well, look, what I kept thinking about that time he come over to your house that night, and he'd been to Ocala and spent a lot of money.
Yeah, well, that's one day. He come in there one Saturday morning. And I thought he'd come pay me that $5.
Yeah.
And he comes in there, and, well, the way he's talking, he wasn't talking to me at all. He trying to ignore me like I wasn't even in the room.
He talking to you, your mama?
No, he's talking to Layman, Margaret's husband. He's sitting on the couch.
Over there at your house?
Yes. And he said, man, I just tell you, he said, man, I had one of the best steak dinners. That right after dinner time, see, he went down that morning on Saturday. And he carried his niece with him and bought a nice pair of shoes.
Oh, yes, it's his niece.
Yes, and bought Johnny Mixon a $2 steak dinner, and himself and his niece.
Yeah.
Boy, it was good, and he was picking his teeth and going on there, you know, and I just up and asked him. I said, oh, yeah. By the time he went to leave, I said, oh, yeah. But I said, what about that money you owe me? He says, I don't know, Yank. What about it? Like that, you know? Well, that run all over me. But I just like somebody throwing fire in my face.
Yeah.
I climb up out of that dad burn chair and mama out in the walking room said, no, Frank, you better not. So I'm fixing it, and I just happened to think of his collections.
Yeah.
But if he hadn't been flexing, I'd knock him through that door. Hit me, Lord, I wouldn't gonna put up that stuff.
Well, what was he doing? He just baiting you?
Yeah, he is eyeing me. See, he got all that work done for nothing, see. Paying me $75 an hour, about got a strain fertilized dumping fertilizer for him, and he would set up on a track and do as he wanted to. One time he'd stop here, and I had to tote it up. Next time, I just got mad at him with him one time. I said, the heck with it. I said, you get somebody else to dump your dead young fertilizer. So I walked off. Way down, he called and said, hey, Yank, you come on back here. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, heavy. I said, you know that doggone 5-gallon bucket, heavy to reach him. You know them old things way up back.
Well,
I guess it's the bottom of the bucket would have hit me right in the mouth. And me straining him sitting up, just chewing on that tobacco, smoking that cigar, you know, just spitting it. And every time that he turned around, see, he couldn't stop at one place. He had to inch up a little bit more every time. Make me pick up both the buckets and tote them up in that soft dirt. And I got tired of stuff. I strained him, and half the time he wouldn't pay. I'd just have to devil along with him.
Yeah.
And back then, when I was helping him, it was nip and tuck.
Yes.
I had cows, but you take when you had to buy groceries, buy car tags and insurance and stuff like that, and keeping up automobile and all that stuff, and mule to feed, and see, I had was doing a little farming for myself, you know, making my own corn and mule, and at the time, and I even rode a crippled mule up there and plowed it, that burned beans, keep him from bringing that tractor, I mean, from doing it. See, I did the most of the work to all the whole blame crop.
Well, now, what was that, You had squash, or was it beans?
I had squash, beans, and something else we had planted. I can't think now what it was.
With Everett.
And he said, I kept telling him, no, Everett, I don't do it, because your daddy will get into it next time. Brother E.I. be in there, and Christian will be into it, and this and that will be into it, and I'll be out. Well, that out right there is why I should have got out right then. When I said out, I should have left right there.
Yeah.
Well, then them that dumb one said, I don't know if old Kid Smith might do pretty good. You and him might do good. Well, I thought about it. I laid at night and worried about that thing, because I always said if man stuck me one time, you would never have a chance to do it again.
Yeah.
I'd crawl on my knees before I'd go back coming. I mean that thing.
Yeah.
So, Kept on. One church, one night, that church said, the Yank said, you thought any more about what we was talking about? I said, yeah, Everett, I thought about it, but I ain't done too much thinking very hard about it. So one day he said, Daddy's still living.
Frank, slip around this way and let you chat a little bit. That's all right. Say, don't move.
He said, you thought any more about and what we're talking about? Yeah, man, I thought a lot about it, but I ain't doing much about it.
Set back where you are.
That's all right. I get.
Just face me, and I can hear you all
right. I didn't think too much about it, but.
You have to talk about it.
He said, I think we do pretty good. So his daddy was still living. And he brought it up there at his house one day.
Yeah. Now, his daddy's a good farmer.
His daddy's a good man.
And you like to work
Smith
for him.
Daddy Smith was, yeah, if I'd have worked for anybody, say, I never did work for him. Willie worked for him.
Yeah.
Willie playing squash with him. But Everett kind of had that Whittington in him, like his mother. See, his mother was Whittington.
Yeah.
Ernest Whittington's sister. And, they looked for that greenback. Well, Mr. Eddie Smith was, I can say he's a good man as far as I know, because I never, them niggas all said, as long as Mr. Eddie lived, he got paid good. After Mr. Eddie died, them boys taking over, then they started clipping him. You know how they used to do these old niggas, you know, they'd take a little, and next thing, and take the land or something.
Yeah.
You know. So he talked on that a few minutes, and Mr. Eddie Smith said, well, Frank said, I don't know. See, you and Ev's all the time, you and the boys all the time going fishing and going to Williston. And all said, I don't know. Y'all might make a pretty good deal. He said, it might be a good year. You can't help this. Well, I believed in the man. If I hadn't, I'd never take what he said. So Willie said, I asked Willie, he said, well, you don't have to watch Everett. Now, if you keep everybody else out, and just work mainly you and Everett, you might get along all right. But says, if EI gets in there, or anybody else, said, by God, you better watch. And that's just what happened. He let EI take the money part of it, and he did the boss part of it, and I did the work. And that's what I got. And I told him, I said, if I don't make much money out of this crop, and I worked hard, and I rode that old crippled mule back and forth from the house up here to work. And had a, you know, had a mule be string halted in the back leg, little, you know. And I rode her back and forth a lot of times, feel soft for, you know, and just walk. Just lead her, you know. So I did that, you know. And he says, oh, yes, yeah, says, we don't make much. Says, I'm going to see if you get that Ford truck. Back that Ford truck was a 41 model. And it was a good old Ford truck. Had a good cattle body, and it was a ton and a half. So, oh, yes, yeah, I'll see if you get that truck. So wound up, we didn't get anything, and I went to him about the truck. He said, no. I said, a man's going to buy that truck. I said, now why are you doing that? I said, you promised me that truck. I didn't make none. You going to see it? I got the truck. I said, truck, you said truck, Joe? He said, yeah, but he said, this man's going to buy it cash. So, I never did get one penny out of the thing. And then on, as far as I felt about Edward, he could go to, you know, where and stay there.
Well, now, what was the time you had squash? Was that after that?
No, we had it all together.
Well, don't you know, you kept after him to get the money, and and EI?
Well, that was, see, that went on. I'd been after Edward, maybe a month or so. For settlement.
At the same time.
Yes, you have to wait, see, on settlement,
yeah.
On account of that stuff coming from them places up north, see. Yeah. A lot of them maybe be 4 months behind.
Is that right? I didn't realize that.
So I kept on. I don't know, it must have been about 6 months at least. And he kept telling me, said, the returns are still coming in, see. It's what I told him. Well, they wasn't nothing like that. They just holding off, keeping business.
Yeah.
And I know, I heard a certain guy right there in the office tell me that my share of the beans was $800. And back then, that was good money, you know.
That
and they were bringing good money, because I know two or three planting right around us there was getting $4 and $5 crate from them.
Yeah.
And we had just as pretty beans as they did, I bet, because Christian them said so.
Yeah.
So, all they did, Ernest just bought, take my part, see. And he give Edward his part, and he bought him a brand new car.
Oh.
See, that's the way it works.
Yeah.
See, he told me, and he told me up until 2 days before we supposed to have a settlement. Never did have it. We had a settlement, all right. I was out, and they were in. But anyway, he told me, said, he held out, there wasn't nobody. Said, I got a secret place I'm having them bills. I don't forgot what he said. Mr. Christian was taking care of my hood was. But I told him, I said, Edward, I said, I think you were lying to me. He said, no. It was about 2 days before I went down there. That's when I found out Ernest was holding all the paper.
Yeah.
And I said, now see, you lied all the way through. You said, Ernest, your daddy, nobody. I'd have rather had your daddy to help the thing. Now, if Mr. Smith had held it, it'd have been all right. Because he'd have done what was right, but the man was, at the time, he was, you know, pretty feeble. He was getting feeble and feeble all the time. And I hate the bond, but I started telling him, I started telling Willie, he said, well, you know, Mr. Smith has to go to the doctor a lot, and said, he's not too able to be doing anything, Frank. So I said, yeah, but he said, as long as you know Everett, he says, I believe if you and Everett deal together, just you and Everett, you'll be all right. He says, if anybody else. Which, back in Willie's head, I know he knew that old Ernest was going to have a finger in it, because he always did have a finger in something. So,
Well, now, Willie wouldn't just push you into the trap, would he?
Well, he told me, said, I don't think there'd be anything wrong. You can't lose nothing, but I did. I lost a lot of work.
Man,
I could have been.
Why did you caught Ernest digging worms?
Down at Macintosh there behind Miss Burry's. Boarding house. She said, I walked up at the door. I said, "Miss Bernie, you know anything about where I can find Ernest?" He ain't at his office. He had his office in one of the rooms. So.
Oh, did he?
Yes. So, see, it's kind of sneaking about the thing. They didn't want me to go down to Christian and see his office because, see, they knew that I'd find out, you know, about it. And see, old Ernest worked there, too. See, he was bookkeeper and all that stuff down at Shed. And he was working this on the side at night, see, in his room.
Oh.
See, that's after him and Carabelle, his first wife, separated. He got staying down in the hotel.
Oh.
So, yeah, that bugger was about gay. And he had a hoe in his hand. If he hadn't had that hoe in his hand, I might have pulled him more. I'm a hit old Everett, man. You know, he's about to fight me. And that's something you couldn't ever figure, old Everett wanting to fight anybody.
Yeah.
But you know, I made him so mad, Willie said, "Yeah, you better watch him. He's just left liable to get mad, you know, and pick up something he can't hit with."
Yeah.
So, well, that's the way I felt about old Ernie. And if he hadn't had that cotton picking hoe in there, I was going to get hot with him. I was going to work him over the coast. But he was kneeling down on his knee digging them baits. Well, he got mad about that thing, too, boy.
Well, now, how old was you then? You was old enough to, you was a grown man.
Man, I'm done turned 40. I'm 48. I'm going on 49 now, and that was back in, I guess must have been in the 50s sometime after the war.
Yeah.
And, I figured that one time, see, running with him, you know, and Everett knew it, I was, you know, was kind of down, you know, didn't have, you know, puny, you know, and wasn't able to hold no real good job. Of course, I'd been up at the university before, but jobs I wouldn't like. My uncle, he said, "Well, you got to keep looking for a job." And I told him, I said, "Uncle Bill, when you don't have the backing to keep running around looking for a job, you can't go all over Gainesville, and I can't walk all over Gainesville trying to find a job."
Oh, you know, that's one of the hardest things I ever done, was look for a job.
And I paid up my union dues. And that's Skeester supposed to assure me of a job. I mean, he's supposed to look for me a job. And he take my last dollar and $6, and they laid me off of it. And Monroe asked him, said, he knew him good, and he'd been there for, see, Monroe had been there working there for quite a while. He's been working there. Well, I think this makes his 22nd year he's been there. Well, he'd worked well one time before and quit and went to a road job of walls. Left them walls or whatever his initials is. And worked with him, and then he went back there.
Yeah.
And he's been there ever since. But, you see, I didn't have the backing to get up there, and I didn't have the education, well, which Monroe didn't have the education either, but he just looked up on to get on at a job at state.
Yeah.
See, now all them big long dormitories out there, them old ones are built off the stadium.
Yeah.
I hope with them. I even walked the top of them things with them painters and helped them shields farm and all so to that dad yum old. Had a whole big 5 gallon tank around me and another boy. I even helped them shields out on them ledges for them to paint them wonders, side them wonders. And went up there the first day, old Monotone and said, "You better get a rag, a cap or something. You can find something stick on your head. You didn't wear your cap." I went up there and, man, I hadn't shaved close. And them skeeters every now and then that wind, they'd let that stuff blow back on me. Shoot, yeah, them guys from one end done a time, they started laughing at the shop, you know. I said, "Now what in the devil are they laughing at?" No, Monroe, he even had to start laughing. "Here comes a man with a green hair." They all thought them boys, they'd guide me good. I just felt like I'd rather be back home. And so, boy, you learn to put on a cap and keep shaved. Because them buggers hell with them spray guns. Anybody spraying paint, they ain't going to get it only where they want it. Yeah, I seen one guy, one of them guys fell through that. I fell on top of one of them walkways that they had covered from building to building.
That's right.
Had a heart attack and fell through that thing before they had the top on it.
Yeah.
And one guy fell off of the top of one of the top ledges of one of them big old buildings, and it just happened that they still had a great big pile of sand there.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have killed us if he hadn't.
How did Everett get on over there at the Pine Acres?
He got on over there through GP, but that's just called GP and him always piddle around together. And,
yeah.
But the old man, he didn't, after he run his mouth, he heard him run his mouth and GP trying to make the bull sail there. He told GP, says, Mr. Lighton said, I think you better get rid of that man. He said, we don't need nothing around you like that.
So he had some of his big customers there?
Yeah, some of them. I believe GP said, told me in Monroe, I don't know whether it's North Americans or people you know, South America, not North America, South American, Pan American, and all them.
Latin American.
Yes, and, well, they probably like Mr. Ivers when he used to have them registered bulls. They'd come over here from Brazil and all that place to get bulls, you know, and places like that. But anyway, he was talking a special sale there, and old Everett, he just walks up, and Everett's bull would be working. So he just walked right up amongst them, you know, right in front of the man and told him. And he got on the Angus breed, see. He said, no, says Everett, that ain't in no Hereford. You don't find out no Hereford breed. He said, yeah, it is. He says, I know it ain't. And this man told GP, said, no, I ain't never heard nothing like that either. Said, Everett, said, you don't know what you're talking about. That's what old GP said. Said, you have got Angus on your mind. Said, just because you got Angus cast, that's no sign that they all run together. Just breed, they're a different breed. So, Mr. Watchemdo, GP said he never did bother him, you know, when he was making two men sale, because he said GP always had been good, you know, about doing it. He just wouldn't pay much attention to him, you know, and maybe wouldn't bother him, you know. But he said GP said he just happened to stand. He said that. He told me about that here about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He said he just happened to walk outside and he heard Everett talking, see, and said them men was, GP had them around and showing them some cows, you know, and talking to them by the set.
Yeah.
He said he wouldn't even go around. He said, there's that Everett Smith, right down the middle of them. Just a jug. He didn't go up and run Everett off or nothing. He just waited till the man left. He called GP off to himself and told him, says,
well, he just can't resist it when the people, and the talking going to be done.
And he'll cut you off. If he can't cut you off, he'll drown you out.
Well, now look, GP's a big talker.
Yeah.
But he won't cut you off, will he?
I don't think. He ain't never.
He always listen to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Everett will keep going. He'll get something out of that cigar. Well, I don't think he smokes now, but. He did. I think he finally had to quit, and which I always felt sorry for Everett. He's sort of like me, but I didn't run all over the country and eat off people.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to stay home, but.
Well, what did he do? Did he just go all over the country?
Yeah, he'd stay at my house maybe one night out of the week. He'd go up to Johnny's if he felt like it. That's up at Alpha Marcia, where he used to stay on that ranch, Mr. Copper. But a lot of times he'd hit up there for dinner time. He'd eat with us at dinner up there. He'd get me at night for dinner. Supper after he got his work done at his house. He'd come on down and eat with me.
Oh, he'd work it both ways.
Yes, and he always said, of course, he always bragged on his meals, and he had taken a notion there, man. He'd come in for fishing. He'd tell Mom, said, Mr. Chen, what about fixing me a cup of coffee? He'd just like his own. And different ones been around and seen, they've heard him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them women said, if I was Mr. Chen, said, I'd get me a stick and I'd run him home.
Now, he got a lot of people that he calls on.
Oh, yeah, all over the country.
He goes to GP's?
Yeah, he started at GP's drinking.
We're just having a good time.
Well, go ahead and have a good time. We're going out here in the pasture a minute, see?
Yeah, okay.
Frankie, this, I don't know Mr. Albert.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now, that, That, I always thought he was calm and collected. But now that time you tell me about, what was it? Some nigga woman come in there?
Yes, back there when he's still farming.
Yeah.
Running that store. He had squash planted.
Yeah.
And them see him and Mr. Elbert, they built all them buildings along the road out there. Four tenants. They went up Georgia and Holy niggas down here.
There wasn't enough down here already, huh?
No, they couldn't get enough, so they heard it then. They had plenty of them up there wanting to work. You know, live in houses and work right on the farm where they live. So shoot, they get busy. They build up them houses. See, they go up and get some of them. Shoot, some of them got so dang sassy, they don't mean to. They didn't stay long. They just moved out. They make them mad. They tell them to get on somewhere else.
Mm.
So, you take these, at least about six. Well, I guess about all of them. It's living. Well, some of the young ones is their parents. When they first come down here, they're done digging. And some of them died after they got down here. They were pretty old. But a lot of the kids and grandkids are still living right around Clemson there. They've hibernated right there and bought little plots of land, you know, big enough to build a house on.
Oh, really?
And they build houses. If they ain't build houses, they got trailers.
Now, this time you tell me about those women, those naked women, lived in his houses.
Yeah, I suppose they'd been picking squash that morning. They went all fishing. I know, like me and Willie said, it's bad to have a business going. And see, he had cows. He had that cow doing, that registered cow doing, going, farming a little land around that store. Man, he had his hands full.
He sure couldn't do it all himself, could he?
No. His wife stayed in that store on that old cement, about running her feet. He finally gave it up, 61. So, and then he had a bad spell and had one of his kidneys. I think one of his kidneys is out.
Yeah.
So that slowed him down enough.
What set him off this morning, that morning? Don't you know when he cut off?
Well, what it was, see, this other nigga woman that wasn't charging nothing there, see.
Yeah.
And this other one was.
Yeah.
And she knew that she went in there, see, she was, this nigga woman's husband was Mr. Ivers' main cleanup man around, you know. He done all the hoeing fences right around the lots and kept store around the store clean and all that, you know. And he lived right up the hill from Mr. Ivers. So, said, no, said, he won't let me have. So, said, you go in and get it. I think it's a box of snuff she wanted. So, she decided to come on in. We stood down and watched. We could hear him talking. Mr. Howard, he's standing up there, leaning over with his elbows on the counter like that, you know, talking to me and Willie. Turned loose, his wife standing back over. We was all talking. Just happened, me and Willie. He come in there behind me, I come in there behind him. I done forgot which. And, but anyway, he seen him, kept standing out there. Said, yeah. He folded his, been around like this year, and he folded his one arm on his hip and the other one on the counter. He said, yep. Says, now they've been off this morning fishing, and I had squash to pick. Said, now they stand out there and said, that other one wants, I can't think, I don't know where it was, many or who it was, wanted the other one to come in here because they owe something in here. And said, they gone off fishing. They know they done wrong. Sure enough, she kept on talking to him. No, said Miss Ellen, I won't let me out there. You go in here. So she walked up to the counter and said, what do you want? And she told him, well, I don't think that nugget come in there. I don't think she used enough or anything. She said, well, you don't use it. She said, who is it for? And he told him, for her out there. He said, she ain't going to get it either. And boy, he come around there. He's taking his old walking cane, boom, knocked that folding door, you know, one of them things set on the spring, keep the dog in, and they go back and forth, them wood doors. He hit that thing, and that thing swung for I don't know how long after he left. Kind of Lee says, My goodness, a lot of hate that get upset, because he just don't know what he says, don't know what he does. He walked up that screen door, and I told him, Willie, I said, I thought your thing was going through that screen, but he hit that center piece, go whoom. That old door went all the way back, hit the wall, and come back, oh, wham. And that woman seen me start off, yeah, wait a minute. And boy, he got in there, man, and he was get the spit and then a cussing going on. He was calling them SB. He couldn't understand. He couldn't say what he's saying. Hold it or what? He's so tight on when he gets that way.
Yeah.
He cussing. You never know what he cussing for.
Yeah.
And he was just a beating. It's one of y'all, Willie says one of y'all broke his walking stick, you know.
He really beating?
He had a beating on that ground, that thing. If it hadn't been a lineman payment, that thing, he'd beat a hole now. I bet that deep in that hard dirt. And he just stood there and he said, you all good and wet. Y'all supposed to pick them squash this morning. See, you all go off fishing. So, boy, I ain't standing. The whole nigga woman started talking like, oh, don't you go back me. Like that, you know. He started moving more than that. Said, you ain't going to charge that thing down here. You start doing that. Them squash out there still got to be kicked. So, you know, Willie told me when he got outside, says, I'd hate for that booger to start cussing me. I wouldn't know what he's cussing
Frank,
for.
I didn't know the niggers were mean that far back.
Oh, man, them niggers come from Georgia. Now, they said they didn't have no mean niggers in Georgia. They lied. I know Lehman said when he was up there, and Uncle Jim and Daddy said, used to have signs to go through there saying, nigga, if you can't read, you better start running. So, and Uncle Jim said he seen signs in there. Said, nigga, don't let sundown catch you in town. Said, them niggas, he dipped it.
Yeah.
But later on in the years, different parts of Georgia, see, the niggas grew. It was, they outnumber us now, please. Oh, double. And but somehow they just got this bunch, see. I guess the Georgia people wouldn't put up with them, and that's the reason they applied for the jobs down here, see. So Mr. Zeller, I just goes up out of the big old town and half truck. And then he hired Everett and different ones, had big trucks to go up and haul them down. Yeah, they went. I don't got what part of Georgia most of them come from. Most of them come out of one little surrounding place up there. And I just imagine it was a mill town, and they just got tired of them, and they just run them off. Because I know they used to say it. They wouldn't allow a nigga. I know they said in Thomasville, shoot a nigga. At night, you hardly ever seen one in Thomasville. On the street, them boogers get off.
Your daddy was a good farmer?
Not bragging, Mr. Miles, but he's one of the best. And he raised all of us out there on that little old 85 acres. And he didn't do no public work at all. Any work he done, he traded. The farm trade, you know, something like that. Like he taking me and, well, I don't think he carried Monroe, because Monroe a little bit too young to hoe, I wouldn't do it one, and he just left his home something. We went up out of this place right off his turn this way to go to Willie's. You know, his old house stayed in the bottom there where that man's got them cows in it. Man used to live there, and he got sick, had a spell, like to die. And they're pretty good friends ours, you know, and he mentioned it to Daddy. Dad said, yeah, I'll come down and help you clean them out. They had peanuts and they were rugging in that back field. And I hoed peanuts that I felt like I looked like one. Daddy worked right on. I don't know where the name was called Rickenbacker. I don't know whether they ever changed work or Daddy just give it to him because, you know, he'd been sick or what.
Yeah.
He had, I don't know where he had any sons or not. Seemed like he did have. Seemed like he had a couple, but I know he had two or three nice looking daughters. And we used to, you know, monkey around with them. They'd come see us and we'd go up there and see them.
What was that crop?
Peanuts.
No, that long thing. Like sweet potatoes.
Oh, cassava.
What?
Cassava.
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 Yeah.
Now you ate them yourself or you feed them?
You feed them to your cows or your hogs. It's mostly hog food, but you make a cassava pudding. It's kind of spongy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mama's made them many ones. Said, Mama, what you got? Dessert. And she always had one of them old long, flat yellow pans. She'd make a banana pudding or something like that in the custard. Well, we didn't think we'd son that she'd make two cakes, chocolate and white. About every Sunday come around, we had plenty of sweets and stuff like that. All that come right off the farm. Had
oh, you, yeah, you can take it, though. The amount of work you're doing, you could eat sweets or anything else.
Sweet. Yes, sweet potatoes. Dad's made them old sweet potatoes, big as sauce. He's made onions bigger than some of these sauces. Old Willie said, day before yesterday, you know, some. I like to get some onions. I don't care who he said made them. And, well, he don't know, but he bought them down there from HA. I made some here 3 years ago, about that big round. And them things just as sweet and watery.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'll never make no more like that.
Yeah.
But a tomato, I've never been too hot on tomato, but I'm not bragging. I've been pretty good on all the rest of them. But a tomato, I don't know. I make them, but well, don't make big like other people. You put plenty of fertilizer to them, work them the same thing, water them, everything.
Well, you better farmer than your cattleman?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
You know the farm and raise cattle?
Well, no, sir, because you get a lot more time off with your cows than you do with the farm. So see, every time when you make a crop, you've got to get it. All right, it takes time to make the crop. And then it takes time to for the season, you know, like your corn to dry mature. All right, then you've got to have that worked over. Well, you've got different types of stuff. If you plant peanuts, see your peanuts come along at different times. You've got to do that. If you plant vegetables like beans and squash, you've got to work them all along while you're working the other stuff, and everything comes along and one thing drops back, you don't plant peas.
Yeah.
You got to turn that under then and plant peas, and then when your peas come along and own stuff like that, you break your corn. And Daddy used to pull his own fodder and all that stuff for the horses and cows. He used to feed cows just shucks and little nubbins of corn back then. He had good cows. They just straight run a cow. Oh, I bet.
You know, Frank,
been under a cow all my life.
There's a vast difference in a cow, the ones that will make their own living, and the others you just got to wait on them.
Well, the thing about it is, they're breeding cows up so high, so they won't live through the winter on their own feed.
I don't know whether it's the ones that's bred up or not. I don't know what it is.
Well, if you can remember, if you can see a lot of these old spotted cows around here, real old. And you see them running in a pasture, they ain't getting much feed. They might be getting a little hay. Well, I didn't feed my cows no bulk feed here. I used to feed them hay.
Yeah.
And I had carpet grass about that deep in that hammock the other year.
Yeah.
And I don't know, something, chink bug, something just killed it out. And but I used to then feed pellets and stuff like I've been for years since I've been, you know, got that registered bull and all that stuff. My cows eat hay and went right on.
And pellets. That's more than buying a bag of candy.
Yeah, you know,
bag of them pellets.
I'm buying, I hadn't been lucky like the other people. I'll tell you how this works now, which I know he's a big man, he got money, and his money talks. But I called someone over down there for the first cold spatsy to get me some pellets early.
Yeah.
And some guns told me, said, well, said, we don't have any. Said, we have some of them Mexican pellets and some of them old, it's got so much molasses in them, dark type. That's what I'm feeding now. Even some guns, as big as Seminole is, even got out of Mexican pellets. Didn't even have none of them in. I swear that's for what the biggest stock place is. And, anyway. That's what I've been feeding them things. Them things cost $4 and something a sack. I mean, 100 pounds. It cost $2 and I believe on one of them bills about $2.29. I believe or $2.49 for 50 pounds. But I've been in the cows. The cows got where they're still on that side. I blow and blow and set them weight on. I said, by God, I think when I get on these, yeah, I'm gonna quit. Just let them nib it for themselves. They don't come no better. But now this, yeah, mix until it's better because it's got a piece of peanut in it. It's got, it tells y'all stuff it's got mixed in. It's kind of yellow on the top of the regular cottonseed pellet. But it's gonna tell you about the accident. All of a sudden, Mr. Stark said, something he wanted me to do in the feed house. So I noticed he got him a ton of pellets. I said, Miss Fowler, I said, where'd you get your pellets from this time? He said, Seminole. I said, what? He said, I just got them here the other week. I said, well, I'll be dadgum. I said, now I'll call them. And I called them before you did. I must call them 2 weeks or a week at least before he did. Didn't have none. Didn't have none in sight, Mr. Chet. Turn around and go down there next week and work. Now he's got a ton of fresh pellets. Tom and Seminole. Of course, the man, like I say, he's got plenty of money. He lets his money speak.
Yes.
And he could have called him 6 months and if you get a ton of pellets, I can get a ton of pellets. I'll give you a dollar extra sack on them and all that stuff. And later years, see, he's bought a lot of feed from some Seminole. And he would buy, he bought back and forth. See, he worked from Gainesville and O'Kell. He bought both places. He'd give them both something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, and they built him up. They built the feed. He's helped build the feed companies up where they are. Cause
now, your daddy had this cane, this syrup. You all made syrup regular.
Made it every year. Butchered hogs. And you get out of that thing. You know, it's just like not eating breakfast.
Yeah.
We was raised up to eat breakfast. They said, well, that's one of the main meals right there to breakfast.
Couldn't have got out through the day without it, could you?
No, so he'd get out there and he'd work. He'd do a half a day's work, or my half a day's work. Time he got up and time Mama cooked breakfast.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, hard down work.
Yeah.
He'd come in the morning with his shirt already wet, where he'd work before we boys go to school.
Yeah.
And if Mama didn't have meals, he was kind of cranky like that. If Mama didn't have meals right then, he'd just... He'd maybe come in and wash his hands and his face and take off his hat and roll his sleeves part of the way up. He always wore his sleeves down. And Mama didn't have it all on there. He'd just pick up his hat, roll his sleeves back down and said, well, now, when you get it ready, you call me. So he'd go back out, maybe go halfway across that place, someplace working. Mama said, come on, Frank, to breakfast. Daddy told right on. A lot of times we'd have to hoot and holler that before we got to school. Dad, Mama's calling you to breakfast. Be here in a few minutes. He'd hoot right on. He'd hoot right on. Daddy's a good man. But brother, when he meant business. I mean, well, we boys, now, Willie can tell you. He can laugh and tell you all them things that me and Monroe got had it easy. Well, I can... Bounce Monroe and Martin. They got more whipping than them, Willie. No, Willie, as I know, he didn't get too many. August didn't get too many. Either.
What happened that time when he got that syrup banked up on him and he couldn't move it?
Well, you see, Daddy died. He died back in 47. And he always prayed to see all the boys home from service, you know. And they all got back. And Mr. Albert's Mr. Albert's brother. So all of a sudden, now he just planned a big old fat cane, and he was going in the cane business. So he told Martin, he said, now I'll give y'all half and furnish my little B. Shamley tractor to pull the mill. You won't have to pull it with your horse.
Now who was that?
That was Mr. Elbert's there. The one that's got the brick mansion in it at the fork of the roof.
Yeah.
And so they did. Made 600 gallons. Well, Dad had already made. He ground some for somebody before that year before he died, I think, the year before he died. And they made about 300 gallons. And see, he'd get half of that.
Oh.
and they done half of the work. So he'd get half of grinding it and cooking it for him. And he could now the bone cooks up now. Him and old Martin, the old Martin comes next to him and cooking syrup. Old Larry with him like that. He wanted to plant some after Dad died, you know, and keep up with it. And he planted some, but, well, you have to keep that mill up, and you have to keep that furnace up, and it's a double furnace, 280-gallon boiler there.
Oh.
And they loaded down the doggone water in old yard, just rotting. And I've had five people who want to buy them things. I could use them for water, but I didn't want to diss mine. But if I'd have cared much about it, I would have fixed up the old shed. The old shed about rot down. The old mill standing there, shoot it. It just got the mill fixed back up good. Got the big old live oak post on it. And it wouldn't shake at all. Tracks could pull it around and around. It wouldn't shake.
Hmm.
So, of course, I guess Daddy lived on, which he'd have lived a lot longer than he would have if he'd listened to the doctor. Now, they say work won't kill you, but I think Daddy killed his at work.
Oh, yeah.
He'd just go back out and see he had heart trouble.
Yeah.
And so they claim that's what it is. So.
And he wouldn't let up?
He'd let up a while, and he wasn't able to go, and he'd get feeling bad, and he said, well, I had Mom and him saying, now, Frank, and then you used to go back out there in that sun. You know what, Doctor? Mama, I feel perfectly good. I feel just like a young man.
Yeah.
He'd go out there and work maybe half a day. At night, come in, probably have a spell.
Yeah.
I'd set up with him rest night. And it kept on, and he'd done a little work there. Not much, but a little work around, kicking around there before he had his last spell. He died down in Macintosh. That old stranger's horse pedal. That old bug like let me die one time. I never think.
You had all that syrup that time, that 600 gallon syrup, and it's hard to move it.
Hard to move it. We sold that stuff to, they finally got, Daddy was still living. He was still living because he's the one that got Webb. Dixie Lily over there to buy. I don't forgot. I believe about 20 a quarter, maybe 30 cents a gallon he got out of that stuff.
Oh, I tell you, I just love to taste some of that now.
Yeah, man, I no nigger up yet worked for Martin. Martin's handyman. Done all the cleaning up, and well, he done more too, but he makes syrup. Martin used to get 2-3 gallons every year, he'd bring us a gallon, you know. Well, I don't know. Willie says he didn't. But he brought us out a gallon. I bought a gallon. Got more than getting a gallon. And that's as much like Daddy's syrup as any I've tasted since the last Daddy made or Martin made. And I'll still say, I'll bet Martin made that syrup. Willie says he didn't. I said, now how do you know, Willie, and to stay around with him, you ain't working with him anymore. I said, now he could have made that syrup. It don't take that long to shoot. Old George could have got the thing going. Martin cook it all. See, he didn't have to grind it or nothing. Just cook it all. That's the main thing right there, cooking it all.
Yeah.
You got to know what you're doing now. You can burn that stuff.
Yeah.
So old Martin picked that up real good. And he was he's good butchering hogs. But old Willie just as far from it. And of course, now I can't say too much. Now I like to monkey with a cane. As long as I didn't get it on my hair and mustache and all.
Yeah, well, now, you know, the thing I remember, people would come around and they'd want some syrup.
Oh, yeah, we've had people come in, you know, and they'd ask Dad and say, y'all gonna be grinding after the kids come in from school and all that stuff? I said, well, now, I don't know, and Daddy has. He started early. A lot of people get juice, you know, drink juice and come see how it run, and he's also done it late when he was a lot younger, though.
Yeah.
But when the later years, when he got older, man, say 6 hours at that, and he'd get out. He wasn't one of them things that laid in the bed. He'd get out by 5 o'clock and start that thing.
But they'd come and want some syrup, but they'd want you to give it to them.
Well, they'd want you to give it to them. There's few that didn't mind paying for it, but it's very few.
Now, that's the odd thing.
Yeah. Daddy'd give more when really kept.
You know, I found that out. this, you raise a stuff like that, and then.